The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter number 13, Text number 8, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on October 19th, 2012, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shalan Kvachit Kantaka Sharkara Angri Naga Avrukshu Vimana Eva Aste Pade Pade Abhyantara Vanina Ardita Kautambika Krudyati Vai Janaya Shalan Kvachit Kantaka Sarkarangrir Nagaru Rukshur Vimana Ivaste Pade Pade Bantara Vani Nardita Kautumbika Krudyati Vai Janaya Shalan Kvachit Kantaka Sarkaran Grair Nagaru Rukshur Vimana Ivaste Pade Pade Bhyantara Vani Nardita Kadumbika Krudyati Vai Janaya Chalan, wandering, kavachit, sometimes, kantakasarkara, pierced by thorns and small stones, angri, whose feet, naga, the hills, avrukshu, one desiring to climb, Vimana, disappointed. Eva, like, aste, becomes. Pade, pade, step by step. Abhyantara, within the abdomen. Vanina, by the strong fire of appetite. Ardita, being fatigued and aggrieved. Kautumbika, a person living with his family members. Krudyati, becomes angry. Vai, certainly. Janaya, at the family members. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes the merchant in the forest wants to climb the hills and mountains, but due to insufficient footwear, his feet are pricked by small stone fragments and by thorns on the mountain. Being pricked by them, he becomes very aggrieved. Sometimes a person who is very attached to his family becomes overwhelmed with hunger, and due to his invisible condition, he becomes furious with his family members. Purport. The ambitious conditioned soul wants to be very happy in this material world with his family, but he is compared to a traveler in the forest who desires to climb a hill full of thorns and small stones. As stated in the previous verse, The happiness derived from society, friendship, and love is like a drop of water in the scorching heat of the desert. One may want to become very great and powerful in society, but this is like attempting to climb a hill full of thorns. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur compares one's family to high mountains. Becoming happy in their association is like a hungry man's endeavoring to climb a mountain full of thorns. Almost 99.9% of the population is unhappy in family life. Despite all the attempts being made to satisfy the family members. In the Western countries, due to the dissatisfaction of the family members, there is actually no family life. There are many cases of divorce, and out of dissatisfaction, the children leave the protection of their parents. Especially in this age of Kali, family life is being reduced. Everyone is becoming self-centered because that is the law of nature. Even if one has sufficient money to maintain a family, the situation is such that no one is happy in family life. Consequently, according to the Varnashram Institution, one has to retire from family life in middle age. Panchasardvang vanam rajet. One should voluntarily retire from family life at the age of 50 and go to Vrindavan or a forest. This is recommended by Srila Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavatam 7.5.5. Taisadumanye suravarya dehinam sada sumigvigna diyang asad grahat. Yadvatma paltang griham andakubang vanangato yadharamashrayeta. There is no benefit from transferring from one forest to another. One must go to Vrindavan forest and take shelter of Govinda. That will make one happy. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is therefore constructing a Krishna Balaram temple to invite its members as well as outsiders to come and live peacefully in a spiritual atmosphere. That will help one become elevated to the transcendental world and return home back to Godhead. Another sense in this verse is very significant. Kadambika krujyati vaijanaya. When one's mind is disturbed in so many ways, he satisfies himself by becoming angry with his poor wife and children. The wife and children are naturally dependent on the father, but the father being unable to maintain the family properly becomes mentally distressed and therefore chastises the family members unnecessarily. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.29, Achyana Dara Dravina Yashanti Giri Kananam. Being disgusted with family life, one separates from the family by divorce or some other means. If one has to separate, why not separate willingly? Systematic separation is better than forced separation. Forced separation cannot make anyone happy. But by mutual consent or by the Vedic arrangement, one must separate from his family affairs at a certain age and fully depend on Krishna. This makes one's life successful. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Bada Kamala Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Sudutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishankan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarine. Yeah, it's pretty bad, all right. This material world is really, really bad. Oh, so bad. We're so stupid, we think it's very nice. You see, it's just our stupidity. We're blinded. We're completely blinded by the power of Maya Devi, Maya Sukaya. That's why sometimes if we get sick or we get diseased or we lose all of our money or our house burns down or something like that, it's great blessings, you see. One of my disciples, his house, after coming back from the Ratha Yatra that night, they woke up at 5:30 in the morning, the house was on fire. They luckily got out alive, but the house was destroyed. So when these calamities come, disease, fire, flood, you see, terrorists, so many calamities in this material world. It's a great blessing, actually. It's a great, great blessing. It helps us to remember the reality. You see, we imagine it'd be so horrible, but that's actually imagination. I had one experience. I was just in Vrindavan just a few days ago, and because it's so hot there, we had an AC in the room, air conditioner. So I woke up. I was getting up at 2:30, but I somehow woke up spontaneously at 2:16 instead of 2:30 when the alarm went off. But I was being very lazy, so I said, I think I'll just go back to sleep for another 14 minutes. But it was so hot and stuffy in the room, I flipped on the AC and then went back to sleep. And then I had this dream. It was like the universal cataclysm. And these fierce winds were coming to destroy everything. And then I woke up and it was just the AC. It wasn't the universal cataclysm. The wind of the AC. So actually all of our sufferings are like that, you see. We just imagine some horrible thing, you know, this disease, that misfortune. It's actually just like the AC blowing. It seemed to be the universal cataclysm, you see. So in this way, we have to, you know, we have to see things through the eyes of Scripture. I can guarantee you this. As long as you see things through the eyes of your own mind, you're going to be buffeted on the waves of happiness and distress. And you'll never find any peace. You never will. It won't. You will not. But if you can see everything through the eyes of the Scripture, you see, Shastra Chakshus, or since it's Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada Chakshus, you see. Prabhupada is our corrective vision, you see. If we can see everything as Prabhupada sees it, you see, then we become fearless. And that's one of the requirements. Do you know that? You have to, if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to become fearless. Do you know that? That's one of the six items given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, there's six things you must do. Number one, you should accept whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness. Number two, you must reject whatever is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. Number three, you should never be afraid, having full faith that Krishna will always protect you. And since Krishna has always protected you, that leads to the fourth item, which is to feel completely dependent on the mercy of Krishna in all circumstances. The fifth item is to always feel ready to always have a very humble attitude about yourself. Always feel very meek and humble, you see. And the sixth item is to don't have any interest separate from the interest of the Lord. You see. My only desire is to do what Krishna wants, nothing else, you see. Everything else, I can forget it. It can all be forgotten. Only one thing I want to do from now on, whatever Krishna wants, that's what I want to do. Nothing else, you see. If you can follow these six items, you're going to be solidly fixed up in Krishna consciousness. You can look in the first page of the Chaitanya Charitamrita introduction, you'll find them listed there. These are the most helpful items. If you can follow these items, you're going to be in bliss 24 hours a day, no matter what happens. So, this is quite an interesting verse in purport, actually. The thorns and the twigs on the hill, you see. They want to enjoy, but they're being tortured in all of their attempts to enjoy. Doesn't matter who they are. Even if you become Brahmaji, the topmost demigod in the whole material world, still you'll be tortured by so many miseries. What to speak of being an ordinary mortal in this world? Even if you're a big politician, a big multi-billionaire, a rock and roll star, a famous athlete, or just whatever you may be, you can have any position in this material world, and you'll be tortured by the thorns and the stones of material miseries, adi-atmic, adi-bhautic, and adi-daivic miseries. They try to deny the miseries. So how are you doing today? Fine. You see? They try to pretend they're not suffering, but actually it's just a facade. Simply a facade. Simply a facade. I remember many years ago when I was a university student, I hadn't realized Krishna yet. I was pretty miserable, you see. But I was looking, you see. I had read some books about yogis and meditation and self-realization. I was looking. But I was feeling really miserable. So I remember when one of the students in the drama, I was a drama major in the drama school, the University of Texas. In the hallway, one of the students said, "How are you doing today?" I said, "I'm depressed." He said, "Don't say that." Don't say that. You're not allowed to tell the truth, you see. You have to play the game. I'm okay, you're okay, everything is okay. That's the game. You're not allowed to say that you're unhappy. That's taboo, Prabhu. You can't say you're unhappy. You see? You're considered a societal misfit if you're not happy with material life, isn't it? Some kind of weirdo, you know. Some kind of weird philosopher type, you see. You're not happy? What's wrong with you? You see? But actually to realize that one's suffering, that is very good. You say, "Well, come on, I don't want to realize I'm suffering. That'll make me miserable." No. When you realize you're suffering in this material world, that is the first step for achieving unlimited happiness. Because as long as you think you're enjoying material life, you are binding yourself with chains to the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease, and they are not pleasant at all. Simply you're imagining that it's okay. So stop imagining. Come to reality. You're stuck in a body that's getting old, it's getting sick, it's dying. You're stuck in this body. We just visited one of our dear devotees in Houston. She's so dear. She and her husband are both dear. My wife and I were traveling preaching many years ago. We had we were vanaprastas. We were living in a van. We had no home, just living in a van, traveling around America preaching, distributing books. And the winter got really cold, and you know, we were staying in campgrounds at night, and it just didn't hack it. It was too much for us. So this wonderful householder couple in Houston, Kavira Prabhu and Radha Bhav Manaji, they took us into their home for like 2 months, I think. It was like we were There was no question. It was like we were part of the family. We could stay forever. They opened their hearts to us. It was so amazing. Completely opened their hearts to us. There was no question of, now it's time to move on. No. We felt we were welcome to stay there for the rest of our lives. Of course, we weren't going to do that, but that's how they treated us. So recently, Radha Baba Manaji came down with incurable cancer. In a horrible position. It's pathetic to see her. They have her drugged up because the pain is so excruciating. She's laying there on her deathbed. We went to see her. So I told all the devotees, I said, we're in the queue. We're seeing her in this condition. We're all in the queue. And she's having her turn now. No, it's your turn, my turn. We're all in the queue, waiting to be on the deathbed. You see, every one of us. That's the reality of this material existence. You're in the queue, Prabhu. You're in the queue, Mataji, waiting for your turn to be on the deathbed. That's a fact. Therefore, take the opportunity now when you have clear conscience, clear consciousness, to remember to understand things as they are, to see things through the eyes of the scripture. Prepare yourself, you see. It's not like there's going to be a final exam when you take a university course. The intelligent student, he prepares himself in the very first day of that course for that final exam. The frivolous student, he just goofs off the whole semester. He waits till the night before to cram for the exam. You see, complete anxiety. The intelligent student prepares himself from day one for that final exam. So what is the final exam we're all going to face? Death. Are you preparing yourself now? Or are you just ignoring it, frivolously ignoring it? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Am I preparing myself for death, or am I frivolously ignoring the reality that I'm going to leave my body today, tomorrow, next week, or next year, or 10 years from now, whatever? You may say, but it sounds so morose. How can you be happy? You don't understand. This is exactly how you become unlimitedly happy. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakangshati Samaksaveshu Bhuteshu Bhadbhaktim Labhate Param. This is how you achieve unlimited happiness. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once achieved the Supreme Brahman and becomes absolutely ecstatic. He sees all living entities equally. He doesn't lament. He doesn't hanker. And in that state, he can develop pure Krishna consciousness, pure bhakti. So just try to develop that consciousness of who you really are, you see. Krishna consciousness means know who you are and be who you are. Don't try to be something that you're not, namely your body. We were programmed from the very beginning. As soon as they came out of the mother's womb, they're saying, oh, look, it's a boy. It's a girl. We immediately heard, you see, I'm a boy, I am a girl. And they said, now you be a good little boy, a good little girl. Can you do it? Can you be a boy or a girl? No. Well, I say, I want you to be that t-shirt. Oh, look, a nice t-shirt. Now you be a good little t-shirt. You see. Can you do it? Can you be a good t-shirt? You can try. Well, I'm going to try to be a good t-shirt. It's ridiculous. We are programmed to think, I'm this body from the moment coming out of the womb, and we're trying to be a cool guy or a slick chick, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because it's false. It's completely false. Absolutely, completely false. That's why we need the Vedic wisdom, you see. Tamasima Jyotirgama, come out of that foolish bodily consciousness into the full light of Krishna Bhakti. You see. Any questions?
I always have such an easy feeling when someone asks me, how are you doing?
Well, you can answer it transcendentally. You can say, my body is in a miserable condition, but I, the spirit soul, am ecstatic because I chanted Hare Krishna this morning. You can enlighten them with a transcendental answer. Huh?
I'm not ecstatic. I'm actually pretty miserable.
Oh, that means you're committing Namaparad, Prabhu. You have to Actually, if we're chanting properly, you're going to be ecstatic every day, you see. And actually, I just read a letter it's really an amazing letter. Probably some Japanese boys, they weren't in the temple, and some, you know, living, they got in the books of Prabhupada, they wrote Prabhupada, how much they liked the chanting. So Prabhupada told them to chant 24 hours a day, Hare Krishna. When you're riding the bus, when you're doing something with your hands, when you're taking bath, when you're taking rest, always chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So if you're feeling misery, just chant Hare Krishna. Grihe tako, vane tako, sada hari boli tako, suke duke, see where does that go? Grihe devagai guru. Grihe tako vane tako sandari bole dako suke duke bulo nako vadane hari nankoro hule gai godamad husvade. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has ordered, if you're feeling blissful, chant Hare Krishna. If you're feeling miserable, chant Hare Krishna. You see? It doesn't matter if you're a sannyasi, a grahastha, whatever you may be. When you're happy, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. You see? And when you're sad, Hare Krishna. You say, why should I chant when I'm happy? Because your happiness is material if it's not Krishna conscious. You see. So if we're enjoying things materially, just like somebody maybe a frequent flyer, you know, and they're sitting back in economy, and then it's announced they just got an upgrade to first class. I go, wow, this is great. I don't have to have my knees all cramped, I get an upgrade to first class. So instead, should you enjoy that? No. You should chant Hare Krishna. You see, if you enjoy material happiness, then you're binding yourself, you see, the material energy. And if you're miserable, you should chant it. Whether there's happiness or distress, you see, both of them are intoxications, different types of intoxicants. You should always chant Hare Krishna. So if you will fill in the missing gaps, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. If you keep, the gaps are the problem. When you're chanting, you're ecstatic, but it's the gaps that are the problem. He's got to fill in the gaps. Prabhupada told Vishnujana Swami in Los Angeles. Vishnujana Swami had the great mercy of being there with Prabhupada in his quarters in Los Angeles. Prabhupada said, you see this harmonium? He said, if I have nothing to do, I will sit and sing some bhajanas for this harmonium. No gaps for Maya, you see. You have to regulate your day in such a way there's not even one little tiny gap for Maya, because as soon as you let Maya in the door, you're going to feel miserable. Don't leave any gaps. Chant, read, sing, bow down, pray, memorize verses, write, hear, honor prasadam, cook prasadam, worship deities, go out and book distribution, go on Harinam, and just keep yourself fully absorbed in a Krishna conscious marathon 24 hours a day. If you're a householder earning a living, then work very nicely to maintain Krishna's household, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. And that way you can also be in samadhi, even while you're working a karmi job. So one simply has to see everything is in relation with Krishna. That's the key. Vagdanam jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantamrichati. Gyatvamam, one who knows me. Gatvamam shantam, peace. Gatvamam shantam, richati, he achieves. One who knows me in what way? Ambokdaram jagatapasam, the supreme enjoyer. Sarvaloka maheshvaram, the supreme honor. Suhridam sarvabhutanam, the best friend of all living entities. How are you going to be miserable when your best friend is with you? Krishna is with you at every minute. That means you're forgetting that Krishna is present with you. Prabhupada advised one of his female disciples, when you chant japa, just feel the presence of Krishna. If Krishna is present with you, how you can be miserable? In this world, if we can be with some superstar, we'd be, oh, wow, this is fantastic. I got on the plane, I sat down, and George Harrison was sitting right next to me. Wow, sitting with George Harrison, you see. We become very enlivened if we sit with some superstar of this world, you see. But just imagine if you can have the supreme superstar with you at every minute. Lord Sri Krishna, he's the ultimate superstar. The others are shooting stars. Krishna is the eternal superstar, you see. And you have him with you at every minute. He's amazing. I mean, everything about Krishna is so amazing. If you think about him, you'd just be absolutely dumbfounded and astounded, you see. Brahmaji has so wonderfully explained Krishna. Anganiyashisakalendriyavrittimanti pasyanti panti kalayanti charam jaganti anandashinmaya sadurvala vigrahasya govindamari purusham damam bhajami. So what's the translation? I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each and every one of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. Krishna's a pretty amazing person. Wow, just with the hair of his head, he's maintaining all the universes. Actually, it's interesting, you see. We normally say in itself, but the Bhakti Sanatan translates it in himself. In other words, each and every limb is he himself. You see, Krishna's hair is Krishna. Krishna's eyelash is Krishna. Krishna's everything about him is fully him. You see, there's nothing about Krishna which is not fully Krishna. His toe is fully him. Everything about Krishna is fully Krishna. So any one of his bodily parts, which are all him, he's eternally maintaining, seeing, and manifesting the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. You need to start thinking about Krishna, Prabhu, and then you're going to be blissed out. Just start thinking about Krishna. What an amazing person he is. He's absolutely amazing, you know. Venam kvanantam aravindaralayataksam barhavatam samatidam budasundarangam kandarpakoti kamaniya visheshashobam govindamandipurusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept at playing his flute with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head bedecked with peacock feathers, with a figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. Just imagine if he could be your constant companion. That person who can charm millions of cupids, you see. And you could be his constant companion. Wherever you go, he's always with you, you see. So if you're miserable, you're forgetting Krishna. That's all. You're just forgetting him. Even though he's present, you're forgetting him. He's present, but you're forgetting that he's present. So the remedy is stop forgetting Krishna. And you have to always remember Krishna. His amazing qualities. Chintamani prakara sadma sukha praviksha lakshavrite shushurabhirabhipalayantam lakshmi sahasra shatasambrama sevyamanam govindamandi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, yielding, who is tending the cows, yielding all desire in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, and always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. Krishna is an amazing person. There's nobody like him, and he never gets old, you see. He never gets old. He never gets old. Advaitamachita manadam anantarupam adyang purana purusham navayovanam cha vedeshu durlabham durlabham atma bhakto govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas. The jnanis can't get to him, you see, but is obtainable by the pure, unalloyed devotion of the soul. He is without a second. His form is not subject to decay. He has no beginning. His form is endless. He is the beginning and the eternal Purusha, yet he possesses the body of a blooming youth. I like that word, blooming youth. Bhakti Siddhanta's language is just incredible. A blooming youth, you know, like a blooming flower, you know. Krishna's a blooming flower, like a blooming flower. You see, a flower blooms and then it decays, you see. It loses its beauty. The flower's beauty is only temporary, but Krishna is, he's always blooming. He has a youthful body that's always blooming. In Sanskrit is navayovanam, you see. He's an eternally blooming youth, you see. Just imagine if you could see Krishna. Wow, wouldn't that be something if you could actually see him? Well, you can. Brahmaji says you can see Krishna if you will anoint your eyes with the love of God, with the ointment of love of God. I was just in Vrindavan, and there's a wonderful prayer by Srinivasacharya, the Shad Goswami Astakam. He describes how the Goswamis were always wandering around Vrindavan, trying to see Krishna, you see. He Radhe Vraja Devi Ke Chalalite He Nanda Suno Kutaha Shri Govardhana Kalpa Pada Patale Kalindi Vane Kutaha. They were always saying, where are you, Krishna? Where are you? He Radhe Vraja Devi, where are you, Radharani? Where are you, son of Nanda Maharaj? Where are you, Lalita? Where are you, Vishakha? Are you on Govardhan now? Are you on the Jamuna bank under the Kopa Viksha trees? Where are you? Where are you? As described by Prabhupada, they were shouting. Can you imagine? The Goswamis were shouting, wandering around Vrindavan, shouting out, hey, Rad, hey, Rajadevike. Where are you? Intensely desiring to see Krishna. And Prabhupada says, even today, there are people doing that. They're wandering around trying to see, wandering around Braj, trying to see Krishna. And Prabhupada explains this very interesting explanation. He says there that intense desire to see Krishna is as good as seeing Krishna. It's the same thing. He said, how this is so cannot be explained. Even Prabhupada with his, he says, how it is so cannot be explained. But it can be factually experienced. So we have to develop that intense hankering. Jaganasashami nayana patagami bhavatame. To become pure devotees, you see. So that day will come and Krishna will reveal himself. We have to intensely hanker pure bhakti. We have to intensely desire pure devotional service. And what's the best mantra for awakening pure devotional service? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So I have time for one more question. Chaitanya Chandraprabhu, yeah.
Prabhu, it's mentioned in, I think it's the 14th chapter of the Nectar of Devotion. That one should engage in devotional service for which one has a natural, I think the word is, aptitude.
Yes.
So how do we find that aptitude?
Yeah, so that can be understood in two different ways. For us neophyte devotees, that means you can use your talent for Krishna. For those who have actually achieved the asakti stage, at which they realize their eternal relationship with Krishna, then they meditate on that. But we can't artificially jump to that position. That is called sahajya. One of my godbrothers was, I was shocked at the Sunday feast. He told all the guests to pick their rasa. Which one would you like? The Sunday feast lecture. I had to report him to the GBC. And he said, I didn't mean to say it. It just came out of my mouth. I mean, you don't pick your rasa and start meditating on it. Only in the asakti stage, when you're completely pure, the preliminary stage of love of God, then you actually realize your rasa. So for us neophytes, it means if you're inclined in a certain talent, you have a talent, use it for Krishna. For those on the perfectional stage, it means they actually can realize there's a relationship with Krishna. So it has two meanings. But we can't jump to that position. Prabhupada was furious about devotees in Los Angeles who started a gopi, they called it the Gopi Bhava Club. They wanted to meditate, and we want to be gopis. We would just read about Krishna and the gopi girls. We'll have a special gopi bhava sessions in one of the apartments, not in the temple room. They would gather for these gopi bhava katha sessions, and Prabhupada is furious. He said, first desire, then desire, you see. We're not qualified to desire a certain rasa. We're not qualified. The thing is, we all have a certain rasa. We don't know what it is. When you reach the asakti stage, which is right before bhava, then you realize what your rasa is. But you try to jump to it now, you'll never achieve it. You'll never achieve it. That's the Prabhupada was very furious. This will destroy our movement, the Sahaja philosophy. Some devotees have actually been preaching the Sahaja philosophy in different ways. So I'm doing everything I can to counteract him. It's very dangerous, you see. That yes, one devotee was actually, he wrote some book and he implied, you know, he had realized his rasa. He subtly implied he had realized his rasa and made one book in his main distributor around ISKCON. And devotees think, oh, he's very advanced. But Prabhupada clearly states in the Nectar of Devotion that those who have actually achieved it, they always present themselves as a neophyte. They don't say, well, you know, Prabhu, I'm a gopi, you know, I'm a gopi. Yeah. That's a sure indication of Sahajism. They tell you what their rasa is. A sure sign of Sahajism. They even subtly imply that they're a gopi or a gopa or this and that. It's a sure sign of Sahajism. So we should just serve our rasa and serve my spiritual master. That's our rasa. You see, the spiritual master is the eternal resident in Vrindavan, so we serve our spiritual master. That's him. Srila Prabhupada, you see, he's the eternal resident in Vrindavan, so by serving him, we're serving Brijabasi. And then in due course, when we become purified, then when we achieve the sakti stage, then we realize, yes, I'm this, I'm that, and Krishna's best. And does that answer your question?
Yes, Guru, but I was more thinking of the other side. It's more like the 9 processes of bhakti. You mentioned there's 2 levels, aptitudes. So more like, how do you find, what do you know is your inclination in the other ones? Is it just what you like to do, or how do you figure out?
No, the thing is, everyone has some talents. And the spiritual master, intelligently, somebody may be engaged, may be a good speaker, so the temple president or the spiritual master will engage them in using their speaking ability for Krishna. Some may be good at artistic, they can make deity outfits, you see. Why not, as far as possible, engage people according to their talents? Because then you get more, it's more productive. At the same time, the devotee thinks, let me do whatever the needful is. Not that I have to do this for Krishna, you see. And that the devotee's mood should be whatever Krishna wants, I'll do. Temple president or spiritual master is thinking, what's this person's abilities? Let me engage them according to their abilities, because then it makes things easier. Think somebody likes to cook, you put him in the kitchen, he'll be in bliss. You see, he won't be angry. Oh, I'm in the kitchen. Oh, I'm in the kitchen. Wow. You see? So in this way, the guru, the authorities, they engage you according to your propensity. Then it's good as far as possible, and that should be done. Does that answer you? Okay. So we'll stop here. There will be another class. We have 5 more classes now, I guess. 1 tonight also. So we'll look forward to seeing you all this evening. Thank you very much for your participation in this movement. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai Shankar Maharaj ki jai.